Welcome, everybody, to the USA Fencing Club podcast. We are very excited about this this club resource that we started with the current season. My name is Bob Bodor. I'm the Director of Member Services here, and really, really pleased today to introduce the fencing community to Coach Gary Murray. Coach Murray owns the Round Rock Fencing Club. His club's been around for 33 years, so very, very successful club for a lot of years, one of the longest continuing relationships that we have at USA Fencing with a club. So Coach Murray brings a really, really great background. He served our country in the United States Marine Corps, had a very long and successful career at IBM, and now is as I said, one of our very successful club owners, doing a lot for fencing in the state of Texas and throughout our country through some of the great programs he has running there. So, Coach Murray, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure. Good to be here, Bob.
Well, let's start with your club. As I said, long history, very successful. Just like to hear kind of generally the history of the club, you know, how it came to be, and then in addition, kind of your goals. When you started the club, why did you start the club? And, you know, have those goals changed or evolved, or have they pretty much stayed the same over the 33 years?
Okay, well, you know, reading some of the questions ahead of time, they all sort of run into each other. You had them set up really well. I was in Vietnam with the Marine Corps. I did three tours while I was there. Had no idea what I wanted to do when I got discharged. I was on patrol one day, and 3 or 4 days later, I was back in the States and discharged from the Marines, and I'm standing on the road wondering, where am I going and what am I going to do? So to keep the story short, though, I ended up coming from California, where I was born and raised, and came to Texas because my best friend, who was in the Marine Corps as well, was still in Vietnam for another month. So I came to Texas to kind of wait for him and realized I didn't have a lot of money, so I had to get something going and found out that IBM was hiring. So I hired on with them, and next thing you know, my best friend's coming in. He's hired on with them as well. And about 15, 20 years into our career, he came to me one day and said, "Hey, how would you like to learn to fence?" Of course, being a Californian from Texas, or in Texas, I'm thinking cows and, you know, things like that, you know, that kind of fencing. And he goes, no. He says, "You know, sword fighting." And, of course, my response was, "You're crazy. We survived Vietnam. You want to come home and sword fight? You're an idiot." But anyway, for the next 6 months, he kept on my back. And finally, I gave in, and I said, "All right, let's go." The University of Texas at Austin had an evening class that was a non-credit course, and it lasted about 8 weeks, and they provided all the equipment. And I said, "Yeah, let's go give it a try," because I'd been athletic for quite a few years. So we started out. We'd go once or twice a week, and then after the third week, he decided he didn't want to do it anymore. I said, "Well, that's fine. You go do your thing. I'm going to stick with it. I kind of like this." So I finished the eight-week class, and it's kind of funny. I know a lot of people out there know Vinny Bradford, a very, very close friend of mine and one of my mentors as a fencing master. She happened to be teaching at the kinesiology department at UT, and one of her students became mine. And as a result, I stayed in fencing, started working with my oldest son, and we decided to go to a couple of competitions from time to time. And he said, "Hey, Dad, I'd like to have you do some choreography for me, because our drama club at the school, at the high school, wants to do some plays that involve sword fighting." And I thought, wow, you know, I could add choreography to my resume. So I said, "Yeah, sure, why not?" So I started going to the high school after work, and started showing the kids how to do just basic sword fighting, if you will. And being new in fencing and new in choreography, I think, honestly, I didn't know what I was doing, but it seemed to be working. The drama season ended after all the plays were over, and the kids loved it. And they said, "Hey, Coach," all of a sudden I have a new title. So they wanted to keep fencing over the summer. I said, "Okay, fine." So I found an old warehouse and brought the kids in on a Saturday, bought a bunch of pizzas and Dr. Pepper, and said, "All right, here are the paintbrushes. Let's clean this place up." And that was our first sow. At that time, we actually called our club the Round Rock Fencing Club. Well, not club, but Round Rock Fencing Center. But I was getting weird calls on the phone all the time talking about lumber and gates and things like that. So I changed it to the word club. The calls stopped. That's basically how the entire club got started. And then on July 1st of 1986, we became an official club and applied for U.S. fencing membership. It was a little different back in those days, but we've been a insured member of USA Fencing ever since July 1st of 1986.
So. Well, that's a great story. So I'm curious, has your philosophy in terms of your goals changed over all the years? I mean, I know you one of the things I so appreciate about you is, you know, you've got really a great balance between, you know, competitive fencers and getting them as far as you can get them, and mm-hmm. and then also your recreational community. And I know your membership numbers are getting bigger and bigger, which congratulations on that. But, you know, have your goals changed over the years or pretty much stayed the same?
Well, it's they've kind of changed a little bit back and forth. When I first started, I basically just wanted to offer a program for the kids. I love working with kids, and we found that, you know, this was a good outlet for them. You take some kids that have never been in sports. We pick up a lot of non-traditional, if you will. They don't play football or soccer or basketball, baseball, but they want to be athletic. So I just bring them in. And my philosophy had always been, first, safety, second, respect, and third, fun. And if they can do those three, then we're a success. And that's the way I've been running it all these years, offering it as a recreational program. And I continually take classes from other coaches so that even after all these years, I'm still learning a lot, and the kids appreciate that. And so we started getting some kids that wanted to go to competitions, and I had no idea what to do there, so I called on the other club coaches to kind of fill me in. And then for several years, we were getting a pretty good contingency of competitive fencers. In fact, for 25 years in a row, a lot of my team members would not only qualify for Junior Olympics and Nationals, but they would even medal. And that was, like I said, about 25 years. And then all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere seemed to change. I didn't have a lot of kids who wanted to do competition. And I said, well, I'm here to offer whatever they want. So I guess in a way our philosophy changed a little bit in saying, all right, we have fencing. You tell us what you want out of it, and we'll provide you with the elements to get you there. Somebody wants to go to the Olympics, we can do that. Somebody wants to just fence local and just, you know, feel what it's like to have competition, we would offer that as well. But we never, ever encouraged, pushed, or recruited for competitive fencing. And I believe that's one of the key things that has helped our club stay, you know, this long and be so successful. There is no pressure on the kids, no pressure on the parents. And if a parent comes to me and says, Coach, I would like my son or daughter to be on the team, and I'd say, nope. And immediately they thought I was putting them down by, well, your son or daughter isn't really ready or they're not good enough. I have never said that. I would tell them, look, I want it to be their desire with your approval, because then they're self-motivated. And then I take everything I've got in my armor chest, I guess you'd say, and pull it out based on what their goals are. And we love setting goals, and we review them on a constant basis. So when I first started the club, I guess I'm not sure that I even had a goal to begin with. I was so immersed into doing it that I was just doing it on a day-to-day basis and enjoying it and passing that on to others. And as a result, I don't know that I really had goals set. But then when I realized, hey, this is a success and it's really working, then I started setting goals like, if we're going to do competition, I want to make sure that all of my fencers, adults and kids, have the opportunity to go to the qualifiers, go to NACs or World Cups or whatever is necessary to get them as high as they want to go. And that's really the basis for the success of my club.
That's fantastic, Coach. And, I mean, your leadership experience in your entire life clearly, you know, is allowed you to flourish as a leader in the club and a leader in the sport, and you know, we're just grateful for all of that and for what you do for fencing and for fencers. I am curious, you mentioned something there that kind of perked my ears up, and talking about kids, you know, a lot of times you'll hear people say, oh, kids have changed, and you know, it's you have to take a different approach now than maybe 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. Do you believe that? I mean, have you had to adapt in any ways to youth, or do you find that that's not necessarily the case in your world and you approach it the same way you always have?
It's an interesting question. It's one of those yes and no's. You know, each generation adapts to the society to some degree. But the underlying thing about a kid, I don't think has changed. They're curious. They are, you know, you can really get them turned on if you do it the right way. And they are like sponges. They like to absorb just about everything you throw at them. But you don't want to throw it at them too fast. You want to give them time to absorb it properly. So as far as kids are concerned, the kids haven't changed. But when, you know, you see when they come home from school and they come over to fencing, some of them are a little more tired. They're not as focused because they have a lot of homework. And, of course, the biggest thing I'm seeing right now, and I don't mean this to be negative, but I'm finding out that a lot of the kids that come to us don't really understand what respect is. Now, they don't just openly be disrespectful to anybody, but I have kids always coming to me and saying, and this is a little way you can kind of creep in. They come up and say, Coach, can I go to the bathroom? Of course, my question back to them is, I don't know. Can you? And they stop and think about that for a minute. And eventually, one of the other kids standing around elbows him and says, may I? And they'll say, oh, Coach, may I go to the bathroom? Yes, you may. And they run off. Or they'll come running up and saying, I'll ask them, well, did you get all your warm-up exercises done? Yeah. Excuse me? Yeah, I got them done. I said, don't you mean yes, sir? Oh, yes, sir. And so the parents will be sitting around listening to this from time to time. I don't let the parents cross the line. They have to stay in the bleachers if they want to come and watch the training. And when they're under my guidance, I say you have to have that safety and respect and then have the fun, like I mentioned earlier. So they sit back and watch what I'm doing. And actually some of the parents have come to me and said, how did you get my son to be so respectful? I said, patience is first, and then you have to be, I guess you can say, what's the correct word for it? You have to be consistent. You have to, you know, do the same for everybody. And so when you're trying to help them learn what respect really is, it has to be the same for every situation that comes up. And now it's one of those things where the kids are starting to pass it on to others. You'll hear them say, you're supposed to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And we do that especially with referees. I tell them, never, ever argue with the referee. You can question them. If it's a bad call in your mind, you need to find out how the referee is doing or what they want. You want to do it as with respect, but not argue. And then accept whatever it is the referee tells you in the end. You may not agree with it, but the referee is going to understand that you're doing this with respect, and he or she will gain your respect in doing so. So that's really how I see the kids evolving up to this point. I hope that makes sense to you.
Yeah. No, absolutely, Coach. And I mean, what I hear you saying, and first of all, for people that don't know Gary Mayer, you're one of the most positive people I have interacted with, and I so enjoy talking with you. But I hear you saying that yes, there are differences, but you look at it as an opportunity, not as a hurdle. Like, oh gosh, you know, coaching these kids is so hard. I mean, I just think that's fantastic that you look at it and you say, you know what, there is a difference, but I'm gonna address it. And so good for you. The last question I have for you, I know you're very proud of your coaches, both former coaches, because you celebrate some of the past coaches you've had on your website,
yes,
as well as your current staff, and I'm sure it goes without saying you can't do this alone. You need to have
Absolutely.
Great people around you, especially because your club continues to thrive. So just kind of curious on some general thoughts on hiring a quality coaching staff, and you know, what are you looking for in that coach? Obviously, you're looking for knowledge of the sport, but beyond that, I mean, are there personality traits or character things that you look for when you hire a coach?
Absolutely. You touched on it there a moment ago. Absolutely, there is. The thing I look for the most is whoever the coach might be. They could be a fencing master. They could be someone who was just a college student who went through a fencing program but is very knowledgeable. The main thing is if they have a positive attitude. I want my coaches to pass this on to the students, kids and adults, that you have to look for the good in everything. We've adopted a couple of sayings, like when they go to a competition, you don't win or lose. You win or learn. Everyone is required to keep a journal. Whenever they fence, they put down the opponent's name, what the score was, and a few little bullets as to what happened during that bout, good or bad. And then I also tell my coaches the word bad and wrong is really not in my vocabulary. I usually say, that was pretty good, however, and that opens it up right there. I am not going to degrade any of those fencers because they did what they think is wrong. At least they tried, they gave an effort. I want my coaches to see that and to, you know, build on that. I do not want a coach to come in and tear them down and then build them back up. That was good for me when I joined the Marine Corps because they broke us all down to square one and built us back up the way they wanted. I like that for what I was doing then, but it's a little different now. You take the good and you build on that. You expand on it. So the coach could be someone that is already a coach in another club, and I may want to invite him to my club and, you know, just kind of like an interview, if you will, and see if they're a good fit. And they watch me a lot to see what I'm doing, how I'm talking, and, you know, how I introduce new things to them, how I handle kids that are just not doing what they should be or, you know, fencing to their highest ability. Now, a lot of my coaches that have come through Round Rock have not been coaches before. I train them here. And then, of course, with the U.S. Fencing Coaches Association, I have them all sign up with them, go to clinics whenever possible, do the online exams, and get the reading material and so forth. And it's fun to stand back after 6 or 8 months of training a new coach and just watch and not say anything. Let them run the entire operation for the whole night without jumping out there and correcting them and walking up and give them the evil-looking eye or anything, but just sit back. And I have found that they are coaching just like I am, and they're addressing the situations with the kids and the adults the same way I would do it myself. When that happens, I know I'm a success. And I think it's what keeps our club going. Normally, around the holiday season, our membership would drop off. But the last couple of years, it's either maintained at the same number or it's actually climbing. And that's what happened this past holiday season. And I think it's all due to how my coaches handled the situations. And you can tell if you're a success in this business, or at least down here anyway. You start getting Christmas cards the kids love to do drawings of fencers, and thank you for teaching them. So we get stacks and stacks of those, and you can pretty much tell the success of the coach by how many of these letters and cards and emails and things that we receive from them.
That is a really cool story, Coach, and I knew you'd have a great answer on that because, you know, I just come to really – get to know you, and you just care about people. And I think, you know, maybe that's what the bottom line is if you don't care about people, pretty hard to be successful in a people
right.
business. So congratulations. Well, gosh, Coach, I so appreciate the time. And, you know, as I said, we value long-term relationships like USA Fencing has had with Round Rock and with you personally. And you're just doing so many great things. And I know you've got, you know, another thing that a lot of people should know is you got your 52nd wedding anniversary coming up. So congratulations on that as well. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm hitting 75 this month. My wife is throwing me a party, and she said, I need you to invite all your friends. And, of course, I started looking through my list, and they're all fencers.
gotcha. Well, I mean, I'm sure that your endeavors, it's a family commitment. I'm sure your wife has had to put up with a lot of times you got pulled away from home for fencing. So thanks to her as well. And again, Coach, thank you so much for the time. For those that are listening, I encourage you to go to the website, to the Round Rock Fencing Club website. Coach has got a lot of really, really good resources on there that might help you with your businesses as well. So once again, Coach, thanks so much. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Bob, thank you.